Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have Karen Krentz on Invasion of Privacy.
Hey guys, how are you? Thanks, Kate. Thanks for having me on. This is so much fun.
You're so welcome. And we were saying, I think we were on a show together about eight or 9 years ago.
Yes, I can't believe it's even been that long, but it really, between pandemic, which we don't really talk about, and life, it has really been that long. It's kind of crazy.
Time has kind of warped, and I realized that when I think of things that happened 8 years ago as not that long ago, I'm like, no, that was a whole lifetime ago. So some of the things that happened a while ago feel a while ago, and some feel like they just happened. So that's interesting.
Yes. A lot of time has passed. Many shows have passed. It's just kind of, and here we are. And I feel
How
like too.
long? Sorry. How long have you done comedy for?
So I've been doing comedy for over, and I hate to even put the number out because now I'm going to age myself, but that's fine. I feel like I could be candid with you. So
Yes.
It's literally been over 28 years. So I started, shit, 29 years even. It's probably even longer than that. I started doing open mics in the city when I was about 18.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I've been at it ever since. And I have to tell you, I love it more now than I ever have, which I can't believe I'm saying that. But that actually really is true. I mean, I don't know what you find, because I know you've been doing it for a really, really long time as well. And I don't
Not
want to
as
age
long
either
as
one of
you.
you.
That's amazing. I've been doing it about 15 years, but I would say I took about a year or two-ish off. But that's amazing that you started at 18, about 29 years ago. You must have had so many ups and downs then throughout.
100%. I was single. It was prior to having kids. I was trying to make ends meet in the city, just living wise. And it always was, this is interesting, and it still remains to be kind of my happy place. You know, it really is. It really is what keeps me going. And I, like you, it wasn't consistent for a few years in there. But I've always kept my hand in it. And I think it's just kind of evolved as the years have gone on. And now I'm getting into producing a little bit more and, you know, just trying to figure out how it really morphs into a lifestyle that works for me. Because obviously at this stage, you and I, although you're in the city more than I am, I'm not like running in and out of New York anymore or anything like that. So.
Oh, me neither, actually. It's funny that you think I am, but whether it's my age plus the Lyme disease, I don't have it in me to pursue it the way I did when I first started. I mean, when I first started, it was like prom show at 2 a.m. Sure, I'll take it. And then I'll
That's
teach the
it.
next day. You know, I really burned the candle at both ends. So, but I loved it. You know, there was something driving me to do it. And now, even though I still love the art form and need it in my life, I can't pursue it in the same way. But in a way, I like it better because I'm way more in tune with my soul and my body.
A
So I
hundred
don't
percent.
say yes to as many things because I can't. So
Yeah.
that's why I probably like it better is I try to really listen to my body these days. Because if I don't, I'm bedridden. So,
Wow. I didn't realize you were getting over Lyme's. That is hardcore. That's hardcore.
it's crazy. I've had it for about 20 years, but I guess about 7 or 8 years ago, it really got bad. And I think part of it was not just doing stand-up comedy in the way I was, but I was a vegetarian for 20 years and I'm not anti-vegetarian now, but I wasn't paying attention to enough protein and vitamins. I really was just running ragged in New York City, you know, not taking proper care of myself. And then, you know, the Lyme disease really hit. And it's interesting. It just shows me how to live now, and it's a lot different. I'm sometimes just in a dark room, just me meditating for a
Yeah.
lot of the day, which is an odd way
No,
to live life.
I fully get that because I start every morning with I meditate and I've tried to meditate for many years and I'm a little bit high, it's not even I wouldn't call me high strung, but I'm definitely high energy. And the ability with which to even sit there with yourself is something that I couldn't even done even like I would say a few years ago. So it's something that I've really been focusing on. And I think that as a result of that, it makes every facet of my life that much better, both definitely within comedy, definitely more
Oh.
comfortable and centered with myself. And then everything else just kind of flows in a way that it hasn't in many, many years. And I think part of it is age, but I think a larger part of it is just being mindful in a way that I definitely wasn't years ago. And it sounds like also with you, until
Yeah,
you
the
put in
universe
place.
made me. It was like, oh, you don't want to go within?
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
No, same. And that's the same. And you wonder why you keep bashing your head up against a wall, right? And why am I not feeling any better? And why am
Right.
I so exhausted all the time? And I think we're so busy, definitely with comedy, back when we first started. I think you get so busy being centered in on when is that next show, right? That you don't really think. I'm just excited that I was being booked, that it wasn't a matter of is this
Right.
convenient? How is my body feeling? You just did it. You got on the subway and you went to the next club. It's a little bit different out in Jersey, but certainly back then it was just it's what it was.
It's so competitive
Oh.
that the fear of saying no to something overtook me back
Yeah.
then. And now I still have to do some self-talk with any guilt that arises when I say no to something, but I'm much more aware of my limitations and I try my hardest to respect them. I
Yeah.
feel like, what else can you do? And I have to say, you look amazing.
Thank you so much. So do
I think
you.
it's,
Come
thank
on.
you. I
Come
think it's
on. Listen.
connected. I think, that mind, body, spirit connection, when you feed your soul and you follow your heart and you listen to your limitations, it really does affect your physical body. And our society doesn't yet, it's a little bit shifting, it doesn't yet honor rest and rejuvenation. And I think
Absolutely.
we've both learned how to carve that out in our lives.
I mean, can I tell you, I have carved it out in a way that I know this, and it's going to sound, it's not even woo-woo, it's just what it is now, but self-care, right? And what that looks like for me on a daily basis to make my day go in a way that I know full well, if I do this, this, and this, the day's just going to, it's going to be that much better versus it was never even in my mind. Years ago,
Right.
and maybe it just wasn't. I don't know. I think we were so busy making sure that we were there for everyone else. And I know you're a mom too, and our kids kind of line up there a little bit. But so I'm almost even about to be an empty nester. So it's the idea that circling back around after you put so much of your efforts into another human being that you're almost even put on the back burner a little bit. And I think that's also one more layer in not being there for yourself, if you will. You know what I
Oh,
mean?
yeah.
So now when you're shot out the other side, it's almost even this rejuvenation of, okay, who am I now? And kind of what do I need to do for myself? And it's
Yes.
not by accident that I've never felt any better than I do currently, because once you're mindful of who that person is. And I don't know about you, but it's almost even like, all right, kind of who am I right now? You know what I mean? There's definite question marks. I don't even know what this person looks like moving forward, being that some of my biggest responsibilities are now, they're not as there as much anymore. It's interesting.
Right. I had to really put priority on my self-care when I became bedridden, about 7, 8 years ago,
Yeah.
because it felt like a matter of life or death. And some people may believe that, some don't. It's my truth. And
Yeah.
in that place, I had to say, what do I need or what do I not need? I mean, I still watch movies with my husband, he puts in his AirPods and I have to read captions because sound, too much sound can trigger intense migraines.
Oh yeah.
I have to wear sunglasses almost everywhere because of my light sensitivity, and I feel self-conscious, but it's like, no, this is what I need, and I'm going to give myself that so I can get through the day without being in a ton of pain. And on my better days, instead of avoiding pain, I get to really be in the moment and enjoy it. But
Right.
it taught me, there's a phrase, don't be the cow that gives sour milk. And I
Yeah.
was giving so much sour milk without realizing it. And then, yeah, the universe put me in quite a little headlock there
Yeah.
to make me shift. And now I think I'm just way more in touch with who I even am than I ever was. Because even as a kid, I was the cheerleader with big smiles, but there
That's
was
it.
so much pain under it. And I
Oh,
just
yeah.
had no idea how to be in touch with that. So now I am still figuring out the complexities of who I am, as I'm sure most humans, but I've done a lot of work. I studied non-dual Kabbalistic healing, and the non-dual part for me was really understanding the light and the dark, the spectrum of humanity. And I've done a lot of work, a lot of shadow work to understand all of my parts as a way to not act out as well.
Yeah.
So I've
That's
embraced my,
amazing. That's
yeah.
amazing, by the
Thank
way.
you.
That it really is, because if you look at it, right? I don't know if there is that piece of you that I even just started with a new therapist. I've been in therapy my whole life. I don't think it's by accident that my happy place is getting up in front of a group of strangers and trying to make them like me. It's that immediate, is it healthy? I mean, there's times where I'm like, I don't even know if I should be doing this anymore. It's exactly what I know is not great for me, if that makes any sense. I think growing up, I was the people pleaser, the codependent. I need you to like me. My parents, I needed that immediate feedback, right? Which I feel
Right,
like I
right,
didn't
right.
get as much as I needed. Fast forward to the fact that, again, whether you like it or not, you can keep going at that same level, right? But then you wonder, the larger piece of it is, why do I not feel complete? And why do I still have some of these questions that are still going unanswered? And a lot of people, and me included, you don't necessarily want to do the deep dive
Right.
into, what some of the old issues are. But if you, I find that, and look at you, because you even went the extra step there, that extra level, but it's not necessarily fun. How about that? Like it definitely, I think it's worthwhile and it's definitely paid off, but it's not easy. And I think as we get older, some of these issues, and I don't know if you find this, but they get that much larger if we don't throw it under a microscope.
I needed to stop certain cycles in my life. I'll say of violence, even violence towards myself, or just self-destructive behavior where I wanted to keep playing the victim, but then I had to stop. Like, wait, I'm co-creating these situations. What's going on? What do I need to look at? What do I need to heal so I can manifest a better life that's more in alignment with who I am? And I had to stop and look, and I'm pretty happy with who I am. I'm a work in progress, obviously, but I like my inner vampire dragon sorceress lady who's like, don't you fuck with me. And then I love the lighter parts of me that has this heart that would love to help heal the whole world, which, who knows if that's really a thing anyway. If anyone, we can all make a difference, but, not in a
100%.
grandiose way necessarily, but I enjoy claiming both parts because growing up, I never really felt okay claiming the darker emotions or places. I didn't understand them. And humanity's complex. And when we don't claim those parts and we push them down, then what happens is a world that we're currently in where there's so much madness and wars and hate and sex trafficking and all that shit. It's like so much healthier when you can look at what we're capable of and then use that as a way to create a life where we're not hurting others because we didn't do the work.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, because when you can see the larger picture, right? I'm blown away by the hatred in the world. So I'm Jewish, right?
Me
And
too.
yeah. So I mean that,
Shalom.
and I'm not gonna, I mean, I'm not gonna like dive into that hole, but there's a level of anger and just, so my daughter's at Columbia, my eldest is at Barnard, and so even things that are happening on campus and just what you know the animosity that she's faced with or other Jewish people are faced with, it's crazy to me that I sometimes say, like, how did we get here? Like, how did the level of hatred, even just across the board, it's kind of it's interesting. And I don't have the answers for it either. I really don't.
It's divisiveness. It's we haven't learned how to be in the grays and the complications of ourselves or life. So people want to take one side or another, but the truth is there's so much sadness and pain on earth, no matter your beliefs or your religion, your race, any of it. We're in pain and we have to learn how to open up and try to understand each other, even if we don't agree, even if, you can't come to a resolution right away. I think people are just so stuck in duality. I'm this and you're that. And then it's like we
And there's
can't
no middle
relate at
ground.
all.
Like we can never meet in the middle, right?
Right.
It's either this or that. And I think that mindset, right? Like, again, I was there. I think when you pull back, because you're forced to pull back, then you sit there and look at, like, to take a side, right? And it's across the board, whether it's religion, whether it's politics, whether it's your relationship, your marriage, your friendships. When you're willing, I mean, I've been with my husband now over, it's coming up on 24 years, right, with the same
That's
person,
awesome.
and I'm here to tell you, like, it's, I think, in when we evolve, right, it is, there's that piece where you pull back and you're like, oh my God, like, I don't know why I didn't do this years ago, and it's really opening yourself up to other viewpoints. You know, when you listen to someone talk to you, but you're not really open to what they're saying.
Right.
I realized that I was doing that actually for a long time. I wasn't letting him finish his sentences. I do that with other people. I'm mindful now. I'm like, really, what do you have to say? And let me not jump in before you finish the sentence. You know, I mean, that's such an easy thing, but it's really just because my mind was so going that I really couldn't hit a pause button, which is not great.
But you saw it and you're evolving, and that's what matters. And it
That's
is
it.
hard to not interrupt someone, especially if it's a heated argument and you really are bubbling in. Oh, I need to say this. It is hard to
Yes.
ride those waves and take what they're saying and then be able to respond. I want to switch a little bit. I
Yeah.
think you're going to enjoy all these topics. I already
I
know
love it. Bring it.
how we vibe. So, Friday the 13th was yesterday.
Yes.
And, back before patriarchal times, I believe paganism maybe this originated from, but who knows? It could have been before that. The original meaning of Friday the 13th was not this superstitious, horror, scary filled thing. It was actually a day of harmony, divine feminine, a lot of goddess energy, balance. Prosperity, cycles of rebirth or death and rebirth, things like that. And I have to say, I felt that yesterday very much. I
Too.
didn't feel the scary horror movie, type of Friday the 13th. I felt the other thing. And I think it fits in with what you're talking about, where you help create your own reality. So if you're seeing through a certain lens, a fear lens, that's how you're going to experience the world. And this is still also hard work. I'm not saying it's easy, but when you can start to really dig within yourself and research a little bit about what true meanings of things are, I feel like your experience of life is much richer.
Absolutely. And so I have a question for you. So when did Friday the 13th, when was that even? How long ago was, you know, did that day represent something?
Yesterday.
I mean, so it was yesterday, but in terms of it not being as scary, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I would say it was on this journey of doing shadow work and just being curious because I felt so misunderstood, for, especially when a lot of my trauma was coming up. I felt like I was being misinterpreted in certain ways. And I was definitely putting out a vibe that deserved it a bit, but that's when I started questioning more of what's the real meaning of certain things. I know we are told, whether it's in school or by the government, peers, the meanings to things, but let me dig a little deeper, research on the internet, love Google, and really feel with my intuition and then what I'm reading, what I really think the meanings are. And I guess it probably started about 12, 13 years ago, is when I had a near-death experience with my son in the car. We had a bad car accident.
So
I was
sorry.
already opening up to spirituality, but after that accident, I experienced my third eye was blasted open, and I was suddenly communicating telepathically with enlightened aliens, which I can't wait to get into more because I have the whole drone thing written down. And people thought I was batshit nuts. I wasn't sure if I was crazy or not with what I was experiencing. But that's kind of the start of when I started really shifting my perspective on what reality is, what life is, what I am, what is it to be human? We have so many oddities and complexities. So I'd say that's the start. But the Friday 13th thing, that might have been like 6 years ago, where I started saying, this doesn't feel like the scary holiday or whatever you'd call it that people are making it. So.
No, that's amazing, actually. And the fact that you could totally change that within your own mind, the way you view it, and how you then see it's something beautiful, that I find really interesting. And that take as you said, that takes work. It's really not, it's diving down deeper and actually researching, which I feel like a lot of people don't ever really get there. It's a lot easier just to go with, manifest into being afraid of what something symbolized, whether it's Friday the 13th or whatever day, right? Or a thought that you have in your mind that you can't seem to get past. Something's blocking you. It's that same thing. It's that same, mindset.
And I also felt like a lot of things in our culture cut off the goddess. I really felt that in my system. So even the interpretations of things felt like it was coming from that patriarchal perspective that was also hurting men because it's not giving the full truth of things. So that was kind of part of it too, where I was like, this doesn't feel accurate. This feels flat or shallow, and I just don't like following a set of rules just because one person says this is how it's supposed to be. I'm kind of talking about the Bible right now, but I'm sure there's a ton of deep truth in there. I know there is because I've read a good amount of it, but I think it cuts off a lot of truth, a lot of beauty. It's he in there. And so I really wanted to look at the world from a different set of eyes. I wasn't raised Christian, but I think even in Judaism, that it's not as sexist, but it's still woven in there. Because I studied the Kabbalah, something that women couldn't do at all up until recently. So.
I mean, is part of that, so I'm going to ask you this because I feel like you and I are maybe somewhat close in age. I'm not going to make that assumption, but don't you think also watching how, as we were, when we were young, the interaction between our parents or just the flow, if you will, something that was so accepted, right? The different roles that each of our parents played, say, okay, so back in the 70s and early 80s, so that, like the dad went to work and the mom stayed home. I mean, my mom always worked, so I came from a family of two working parents, but it's just kind of interesting how those type of typecasts, if you will, and then manifest within you. And it's interesting because I agree with you 100%. I also never went by that rule set. There's never a time where I stop working. I mean, I've had my kids, but and I take being a mom very seriously. But again, it's that multi-layered of what it is that makes me happy, and then going from there. So it's just, I'm a mom is one aspect of what I do. But then again, it's one of many roles. You know what I mean? And certainly when I met my husband, I'm like, this is who I am. Are you okay with that? Because I can't, we can't move forward if you're coming from a old school place, if you will, you know, and
Right. And I think for me, feminism's about choice, right? Like, if it feels right for a woman to stay home and raise the kids, to me, that's also feminism. It's choice. It's figuring out. It's not being typecasted in a role. It's like, you're a
Absolutely.
woman, so you're meant to do this. It shouldn't be like that. It's like, you're a human. What's your path? And it can fluctuate. So I think man or woman should be able to feel into what their soul song is, what their unique vibration is. And if a woman feels, because I would love to stay home and pop out some more babies from a feminist place, you know, of this is what feels right. And I think having a choice, I mean, obviously finances come into major play, right? But if you have that ability to stay home and that feels right for the woman, great. But you should have the choice, just like a man. You know, do you
Absolutely.
work? Do you not want to work? Well,
Absolutely.
most
And
people
then also, do
have
you have the emotional wherewithal,
right.
right? So that was something maybe I didn't take into account when I did have my kids. When they were little, the amount of energy that has to flow out of you day to day, there's no, I can't compare being a mom at that stage to any other aspect of my life. I think up until, and I didn't have kids till my mid 30s, mid to late 30s. So I was like, no, I got this, whatever, I can do this. But I found that to be one of the most challenging roles. Because even like when I went to the office, I used to work for NBC, there's that time where then, it's 5 o'clock or whatever time, you can go home and go back to, you put your feet up. But when you're a mom, right, it's interesting, especially when they're little, where that role, it just keeps going. And there's this evolution as they get older. This interesting, can you evolve with it or not? What is the
Right.
hardest for you? And I think a
Right.
lot of it has to do with being a woman. Our energy alone is being able to actually, let it come out and not be blocked up. And sometimes that's hard. It just
Yeah.
is, I mean.
When I wasn't doing comedy for about a year or two, I was blocked up. And I read tarot cards. I do it for myself
So cool.
sometimes, and all of the cards were like, you're blocked up. Like, it was
Oh,
like
yeah.
the Empress reversed, the High Priestess reversed, like everything
Yeah.
was like, you are blocking the natural flow of your gifts and your energy. And I was, but it was still my divine choice to walk away from something while I needed to. I needed to really hermit from that world. And I think what you're saying is perfect because, you know, we do give a lot of energy. Parent or not, this world will drain the shit out of
Oh
you.
my God. I mean, even you circling back around to what you said earlier about being in the dark room and meditating all day, I used to be afraid. I had a fear of being by myself or on my own. It's the old baggage. Even the idea of meditating all day in a dark room at this stage, I now love my solitary time and my alone time. I'm so protective of it, and I find now I need it more so than ever.
Amen.
For me to continue on. And that's something that I definitely did not listen to, say, even a few years ago. I don't know why I was constantly fighting against it, but come to find out, it's really important just to, again, take the step back and take the time that you need to figure out, your flow.
I mean, you're absolutely right. And I think when there's too much chaos within, you're not ready to sit with it and hear it. Because before I was ready, I just wanted to go, 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 go. I didn't want to break because I didn't want to hear what was going on within. So I think, yes, being able to sit with yourself, even if it's the universe forcing you to do so,
That's it.
it's a big step. And now I need to get into this because I love alien stuff. So are you in Jersey?
I'm in Jersey. I'm in Morristown.
Okay, so I think that's even where some of these drone slash UFO
Oh my
sightings.
gosh. Okay. Yeah, no, let's go there because that is just beyond. Let's go.
So basically, And this is actually happening around the world. It's not just happening in the US, not just in New Jersey. However, in New Jersey, they're getting a ton of sightings. What we can call it drones, but I would also like to say UFOs because they really are unidentified, at least to the masses. Maybe the government knows already, but they're unidentified flying objects. Now they have like a UAP acronym for it, whatever. These are objects in the sky, and we're not sure exactly their origin. And they might have several origins. Some might actually be of alien technology, whereas others might be the government or a private company with a ton of money trying some things out. But people are getting pretty concerned and frustrated because more and more are coming out at night, especially in New Jersey. I know I'm in PA now, and we've been getting some in Philly and around us here, but there have just been a ton of sightings. And one of them, they're calling plasma spheres. I don't know if you've seen video of the circular energy ones that
No, I haven't
look
seen that. I haven't seen
completely
those.
alien. So, you know, I would love your thoughts, and then I can share some of my quote unquote out there thoughts. I'm saying quotes because I don't really think my thoughts are out there because I've been talking about this alien stuff when everyone was calling me crazy. And now I'm a little bit in I told you so mode, just a little, but we can get into that. I first want to know what your thoughts are.
I mean, I think it's so crazy to be able to have something. I think here on this planet, and I think you're going to agree with this, I think everyone needs, everything needs to be explainable, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, we can't have anything that we don't fully understand. I mean, taking the pandemic is one thing, right? Who would have ever thought in a million years that there would be a disease that would literally shut down what we know is the way we live on a regular, you go to work, everything's shut down. And we couldn't answer the questions, as you remember initially. We had no idea what this disease involved. We had no idea how long our lives were going to be shut down for. Fast forward to these crazy drones, right? Again, I think the level of frustration, people are afraid, they're scared, similar to the pandemic, but there's no easy answer to it. I mean, whether the government actually knows at this point what it actually is or how, but there's this unexplainable piece to it that really does not resonate well with the majority of people. And I get that. I do. Like, it, you have to admit it is. And I would love to hear your thoughts on it because I can't even tell you what I think it is. You know, I mean, I know what a drone is. I certainly, my kids have had, someone has to be operating it. Is it coming from, is someone operating this, or is this, as you say, is it more of like a UFO? I don't know. I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think first what you're saying that I want to address is being in the unknown for any human is difficult. But that's kind of what life is. Even if you think you know everything, you know, life can throw you right back into the mystery, and then it's left to you calming your system and stabilizing it so you can navigate the unknown. So I definitely don't have all the answers to this. I did predict, even I did a podcast with Soul Joel, the owner of Soul Joel's
I
years ago,
know you. I know him.
and I called it surrendering because in a sense it was we were talking about the start of COVID then. Okay, this was about the start of COVID, and I said I predict the next thing will be aliens. And I think I have known that their presence is here, and many others have who've whether it's telepathically, some people have actually been seeing UFOs or actual beings for years and have been called crazy. I was just talking to a lot of different people, reading a lot of different books that a lot of people would say, oh, that's crazy, and really trying to figure out what's out there. And I came to the conclusion years and years ago, right after that near-death experience, that aliens are out there. I was fascinated with the enlightened ones, the ones that come in peace and want to help humans not blow up our whole entire earth. Because,
Yeah.
good Lord, we need help. So I believe, because of the aliens that I've been fascinated with and in communication with, that the ones that are here to help. But that doesn't mean there aren't other ones here that are not as enlightened or friendly. Now, the government did release the whole aliens are in our ocean, right? So we had this about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I believe, where the government said, yes, there are UFOs. We saw them like exit into the ocean and come out. And now here we have all these objects. I do think some of these are coming from the ocean, coming from alien ships in the sky. I definitely think the plasma spheres, the ones that look really odd energy, I believe those are them. It could also be government stuff. Our government does so much that we don't know about when it comes to exploring technology, aircraft. They definitely don't keep the public as informed as we would like. Democracy, I don't know about that all the time. So I do think some of these ships we're seeing are government. Maybe they're trying to understand what the other ships are, or maybe they're more in touch with some of these alien species than we realize. I do think that our government is completely aware of the different alien species, and some of the government officials have even been in touch with some of their leaders. So I think it's a very interesting time where truth is going to keep coming out, and all we can do is ride the waves because I don't know all the answers, right? I mean, they've been interfering with radios now, and some of the sounds coming through the radios are reminding people of the movie Signs, and that movie was fucking scary.
That
So
was.
I'm not totally sure how it's all going to unfold. I pray that it's the enlightened aliens that I have loved for years and years that are playing a big part in it. But I think there are different species here. And I think, in my opinion, it's about changing our awareness, our consciousness. It's like, hey, we're here. Because when they try to get shot at or chased, sometimes they just completely disappear. Whoop, they're gone. So I believe a lot of the technology for the alien stuff is beyond what we know. Good luck chasing them, but I think they're here to make their presence more known. And I'm praying it's to help us because holy fuck, when it comes to global warming, our
Oh my God.
environment, some of our leaders, some of our practices, even the way our medical community is, there are so many more answers out there than people make out to be.
Absolutely.
Because if, you know,
Absolutely.
if a pharmaceutical company is making a ton of money off a certain medication, they might not want another type of medication or technology out there because they would make less money. So I think we're about to experience a huge shift in consciousness and what our reality is, that we're not alone in the universe. I'm very ready for it. I am not giving Earth 5 stars these days. It's a painful, gross place a lot of the time. I mean, I'll even connect it to the Diddy now Jay-Z stuff. I
I knew you,
mean,
by the way, I knew you were going to go there because it's talking about speaking your truth, whether you like it or not, right?
right.
The truth is going to come out. I really, really believe that. And here's something that took place years ago, not by accident, that people are coming forward with their truth. And I agree with you. I'm really hoping that and tying it back to these UFOs, or again, what do they represent? What do they want from us? Why all of a sudden now are we having this? Not by accident. I'll tell you that, not by accident, that we're now
Right.
dealing with something that seems like absolutely crazy, okay? And I think that's also really upsetting people because we don't have explanation as to why, but it's not by accident. There is really, it's going to come out as to why there's such a presence right
Yeah,
now.
and the shift we're experiencing spiritually is going to allow us to enter a place where more truth in all areas can come out. And we're thirsty for it, you know? Like, we don't want to be lied to. We don't want children being hurt the way that they're being hurt. And even not just children, adults. Like, the way this world is set up and this dog eat dog parasitic kind of energy. It's not right. It's wrong. It's broken. So, if it's the enlightened aliens that I believe that they are, or at least the ones that are part of the whole thing, I think it's to shift us all into another way of being. And like I said, I'm ready for it with the whole thing. Jay-Z was added to a civil lawsuit now. And, that industry is corrupt and disgusting. It's all about abuse of power in all different areas, right? Not just entertainment, it's the government, it's the school system, it's where our food comes from. Abuse of power is everywhere, and I think it's time for it to fall. And I believe the enlightened aliens are here to help with the reconstructing, in a sense, of what's going to be going on here on Earth. And I pray for it. I mean, there are books out there that kind of say what I'm saying that I've read for years while people called me crazy. There's one book called Government Officials Go on the Record. And a lot of people who experienced UFOs then saw them around nuclear warheads, shutting them down, which is a positive thing, right? Little kids need to not play with matches kind of energy. So I think I've been calling them with my full heart, like, help me, help others. Like, there's too much abuse of power. There's too much pain in my system because I try to be very connected to the whole planet. And I think it's just time we shift and talk about aliens in the ocean. We have like so much garbage. We are poisoning these oceans. So these creatures who are living there, they're going to come up and be like, all right, motherfuckers, we got to change things. And it's to benefit us as well. If we kill planet Earth, we're all toast.
No, that's it. And are we even thinking about that? I think that's the problem. I think we're so busy focused in on our individual, I need to do X so that I can get to Y, so I can be a bigger, better, right? That we lose sight of. You're now playing into this mentality that no one comes out a winner in the end. I really believe that. I really do. You'll
You're
find
so
that what we
right.
thought was important 10 years ago versus now, right? We're constantly evolving. But what if I said to you, like, we're misrepresenting within ourselves our own belief system? It's not even real anymore. If you really sit with yourself, right? And it's again, it's that abuse of power, something that. I mean, using Diddy as the example. I mean, back then, here he is. He's like, I'm going to do this. You think that you're above it all, right? And I can get away with whatever I want to get away with. And again, the truth comes out, you know? And I think as humans, we get caught up in that same belief system where you're so busy wanting to rise to that next level, whatever that is for you. Come to find, it's like the keeping up with the Joneses mentality. It just becomes part of the fabric of the world that we live in versus, what is it that really means the most to you? You know, what is it that really resonates with you moving forward? And I don't know, I think it is. It's a little bit of a dog eat dog world. And it would be so nice to put that on the back burner. I think that mentality is just, I don't think anyone comes out ahead with it. I really don't.
They don't. To switch to a real community-based way of living, where we're all thriving. And yeah, I guess some people would say, isn't that communist? I'm not even trying to put a label on what I'm thinking. I'm thinking something evolved past the labels that we've given things. Because no, I'm not thinking of the typical communist way. It's more of we actually, instead of dog eat dog, we want to lift each other up. We want to hear each other. Because a lot of us are breaking. So many people have chronic illnesses or
100%.
pains, and
Or
they're
I
not
mean,
sharing it. And I think alongside the UFO thing is a certain type of judgment day, except it's not a day. It might be judgment years where some people are going through their life saying, I'm going to mean something if I have this much money or if I have this type of job. Whereas what would God or goddess think, or the universe, whatever you want to call that bigger source that has cosmic justice woven within it. At some point, just like Diddy's being now judged, when he's gotten away with stuff, it's going to be like going within, whether it's yourself or enlightened aliens or whatever, is there's going to be a type of karmic release where it's like you get the karma you deserve, whether it's positive or negative, but we're all being seen. So some of us who've been living, like, there aren't higher powers truly seeing how we live our lives, truly feeling what our intentions are as we go through it, we're being seen. So I think it's important to get your morals in check. And that doesn't mean being like a fake nice person. You know, that's not it. It's exploring who you really are, the light and the dark, and trying to live from a place where you don't overpower people, you know?
And not have that be the main goal. I mean, if you want to look at, and I was even just thinking as you were talking, now let's even use the Amish as the example. And I'm not even, here's like a stripped down culture, right? I think even talking about issues that everyone's facing now, it's not by accident that most people are walking around with a level of anxiety that now everyone's feeling like they need to be on meds. I mean, back when you and I were kids, I'm not saying anxiety didn't exist. However, I think things are so layered up now with social media as one example. If you stripped everyone down to a place of, and again, using the Amish, where everyone has to help one another to make the community work. And there is no such thing as, obviously, we're always going to have social media and compute, but what about if I said to you, on an individual basis, if we really stripped ourselves down, what is it that would be most important? What really resonates with you? And that's the thing that I don't know, everyone's got a different answer to it. But I think if we made our lives simpler, as opposed to constantly, in this race against one another, in this competition, whether it's subconscious or not. I feel like in the end it's so destructive, and I see it affecting certainly my kids, and now they're adults. I feel bad for them because I do feel on a certain level, you and I experienced a life where we were stripped down, whether we realize it or not. When you got on your bike, man, when you got home from school, you jumped on your Schwinn, drove down the street, rode your bike down the street, and had a little play date with your best pal. And then figured out in the neighborhood which mom was making the best dinner. And that's who you went, be home before dark. It was just your life was stripped down. It was easier. I think it was easier to access your joy versus, I don't think it's as easy now. I think it really is difficult.
I think the simple thing is true in terms of childhood, but I still had so much pain. I think we're now at a tipping point to create a way that brings the positives from what you're talking about, but also evolves it, because there's so much grief in households, and there was back then too. There's just so much generational trauma,
Oh my
different in
God.
each house. But you know, and in terms of the medication, I wanted to say that too, because I always have thoughts of so many of us need to take meds, and there are so many different types, and we just, you know, pop these pills without saying, wait, something's broken for so many of us to have to take these to survive on this planet. Like, there's has to be a shift on the planet, so not as many of us have to take all this medication in order to be able to be alive on it. You know, that to me is a big blaring warning sign, because so many of us have to alter radical things to even be okay to exist here. And I think there's just going to be a big change. And speaking of the Amish, you know, so many of them voted for Trump. I'm not a Trump person. I'm usually an independent. I try not to choose. I did vote for Kamala. However, a lot of Amish voted for Trump because the government was trying to control the way they farmed. Because, you know, the Food and Drug Administration is not, there's a lot of corruption in there, unfortunately. So I think in every issue, Democrat, Republican, I don't even care. It's just the government these days. It's like there's so much sickness here that just needs to reach the next level. And we can't point fingers and blame anymore. We're all connected. We need to reconstruct a new way of being together, because we need to feel better and
Well,
to
that's
not
part
have the
of it.
earth die.
I think at this point we don't really have a choice. Do you know what I
Right.
mean? I think we're really faced with, we either make this better, and regardless, it's exactly what you say, regardless of whether I'm a Democrat or Republican or who's president, there is such a larger issue here that we need to fix, because our world, it's going to completely change. We're going to combust on an
Yes.
individual level. You know,
Yes.
the fact that, as you were saying, there's so many of us that need to get in touch with what, you know, having to take meds as an example for anxiety.
And I'm not
Sometimes,
saying I don't take any medication or anything. I'm
yeah.
not making
Oh,
any
I'm all for
judgment,
it. I'm all for it. I
You
really
got to
am.
do what you got to do. And
Absolutely.
what you're kind of saying about combusting and people reaching their tipping point, this is the last topic and it's perfect.
Yeah.
The guy who killed the CEO, right,
Oh, yeah.
of
Perfect
UnitedHealth.
example, by the way.
And I know that a lot of people were and are rooting for the shooter. And then a lot of other people are like, how could you root for a murderer? You got to once again open that full spectrum. It's like people are at their wits' end. For-profit healthcare companies that are purposely denying claims where people deserve care. So, the CEOs can make more money or the people higher up. Of course, people are going to be heartbroken and at their wits' end, especially if they've had a loved one die because they were rejected the care that they actually needed. So it's not to say that, and I know that Luigi Mangione has been arrested for it. I'm not going to even act like he did it. We don't know. If they arrested him, I don't know who the person is. I'm not going to say it was him, but I do see how, hurt people are and how once again this imbalance of power is making people need a change or they're going to combust. And I understand why a person would want to do an act like that. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying he should have done that. But I get the bigger picture of healthcare companies are not all are evil, I guess, but the ones that are really trying to make larger and larger profits by denying care to people who need it, that's an evil. They're killing people with those decisions. So.
Absolutely. I mean, and speaking to that, I fully believe, so my eldest daughter is a type 1 diabetic, and don't even get me started with, do I fully believe, as does my daughter, there is a cure for type 1 diabetes? It's out there. The drug companies, right, that are producing the insulin are making so much money. So you ask yourself, and now my daughter, we buy, even just recently, she was saying, and we've got great insurance. Still, the copay costs are just ridiculous. And the fact that there's just another secret hidden agenda that is so off and taking advantage of people that need this medicine to live, right? It's the same, it's what healthcare, what it represents, what insurance represents. I agree with you when we were talking about it even prior to this example earlier in the podcast, and it's really, there's a problem. There's a definite abuse of power, right? And that's what it gets back to. I think there's an abuse of power. This causes people to implode. You can only push someone so far. And again, I agree with you. I don't think killing someone obviously is the answer. But there is a place where I feel like we are completely off balance. And why are we completely off balance? And who are we benefiting? Who's benefiting financially?
And those who are benefiting with those kinds of profits, it's horrible karma. It's
It
terrible
really is.
karma. And for, I believe in God and goddess. I pray to all different deities. They're watching in ways that people forget. And like I said, I do think there's a type of judgment day or year or years. And I think people need to really get back to their hearts, their intuition, and even listening to their limitations. Because just pushing past your limitations can fuck up your morality because you're just all out of sorts,
And you don't even realize it, by the way. I think when you so get caught up in it, you don't realize that you've crossed that line. And that's when it becomes scary. You're so busy, right, mentally just in this headspace that you don't even realize necessarily at this given moment where what side of the line you're on anymore. And more often than not, you've crossed it and you don't even realize it.
Right. So many of us have lost our way, and I lost my way many different times in my life. And luckily, the universe stepped in pretty harsh ways. At the time, I didn't like what was happening, and I didn't understand why is this event happening to me? But I can look back, like just when I got really sick and had to exit the Manhattan comedy community for a bit. You know, at the time, it's like, why is this happening to me? I had spread myself so thin. And I had lost myself in certain ways. My ego was really driving the ship of Kate Wolf, you know, and I didn't realize it. So I think it's also good to set an intention of I'm here to evolve. I'm here to not abuse power. And, you know, I think when you put that intention out, the universe, even if it hurts, will help set you on that path. And I would advise that for anyone who cares or anyone who's listening, because I think we're going to see more and more drones slash UFOs, you know, and I just think there's going to be more and more radical shifts to reality. I know there are interdimensional beings out there. I have a good friend, CG, and I go Bigfooting with him, and we've experienced Bigfoot. We never saw Bigfoot, but I mean, there are these beings out there that people want to deny. And I think as we realize that our reality is not what we thought. I would just advise setting an intention of evolving, love, understanding, community, and know that you'll be okay. Because even though it seems like I have a lot of answers right now, I'm still bewildered to a lot of these things. I don't know how it's all going to unfold. I do know a lot more people in the entertainment industry are going to be exposed. I know that. I mean, Epstein's list never came out, the full real list, you know.
And why, by the way, because you know full well,
Money, money,
that
money.
certain people were paid off. And I know we're probably wrapping it up soon, but I will say this. When you talk about justice being served, back when I was at NBC, Matt Lauer was there. I work with the Today Show. So again, you knew exactly what was going on, right? This was not, it just, at that point, the whistle was blown. And I really do, like you talk about believing in karma. I really, really unequivocally believe in it. I really, really do. I think what you put out there into the universe, you get back. Period. End of story. And if you're throwing out what is disgusting, right, unjust, it's swinging back around. And I've seen it. I've seen examples of it time and time again. I mean, it really
Yes.
does come down to that.
And I felt my own negative karma come at me. And I think the difference is I switched out of a victim mentality into, oh, I see how my actions were hurting others, and that ricocheted like a boomerang came back. And now I can understand, oh, that wasn't a cool way for me to go about the world. I was subconsciously hurting people. I mean, I've been podcasting for a long time, over a decade, and you know, I accidentally would say things that I didn't realize could hurt even exes. You know what I mean? Like, or you tell a story, and like I think about that now, and I'm like, wow, I really didn't care how that might come across, you know, to the listeners or to the person it was about. And I think sensitivity is a huge piece in this, you know?
Absolutely. And I think also because you are as evolved as you are, right? You are. You can feel it. I even just,
You are too.
I mean, thank you. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? You can actually feel it. Not everyone has gotten to that place of being exactly to be able to understand that, wow, all right, my actions really potentially did have certain negative repercussions that at the time I had no idea because I really wasn't in that mindset.
Right.
And the fact that you've put the work in and certain things have happened in your life where you pop out the other side and you're like, okay, what am I going to do with it now?
Right.
And it's exactly what you say. If you take on a certain mentality of the world is against me, and
Right.
it's like literally you're swimming upstream. It's never going to get any easier, Right. It is totally about that shift in mentality where, I mean, if you look at what you have now and that sense of balance in your life, again, not by accident. It really isn't. And I
Right.
think if we throw that out more on into the world, it does start with us. I really do agree with you on that.
And we're truth speakers. Our job, or one of our jobs, is to get up on a stage and make people laugh, but we're using our voice and we choose the themes and the topics of our jokes. So I think that is huge, spreading that vibration of what does your voice want to say? What is your intent? And making people laugh is a superpower. And for anyone listening, this is even making anyone laugh in any kind of conversation or just having an open, fun conversation. It does start there. Just our mind shifting, our consciousness shifting. And we can make a huge difference just by having these types of conversations. And it's going to happen more and more because as more mysterious things
Yeah,
enter
no,
our
I mean,
reality, people are going to have to
absolutely.
talk.
Absolutely. And even what you're saying in terms of your material that you put out there, do you find that the material that is most painful for you to throw out, your vibration? I am telling you that that's what I get the most reaction from. That's what gets the most laugh. That is what is still so painful in my gut to talk about, right? If I'm really being honest, if I lean into it, and I write jokes about material about things that are just still resonate within in a painful manner, not by accident that you throw it out there. And that's what sticks. That is what gets the most laughs. It's our common denominator. Most people just don't want to talk about what it is that they find painful within themselves.
Oh,
If
yeah.
right? I
Yeah.
mean,
You want to enjoy what you're saying. I noticed at a certain point in my comedy career that some things were more painful to not just say on stage, but to repeat, right? Because we tell a lot of the jokes over and over. And some, even if they were just self-deprecating in a certain way, I was like, actually, this hurts for me to joke about myself as if I'm just this hot mess loser in this one line. I have to stop saying it like that, you know? So also just really being precise with your words. We're all wizards and sorceresses in this world. And I love The Four Agreements, that book, and it's all
I
about,
love that book.
it's such a good book, and our
It's
words
such, I
power.
reread it. It's next to my bed. I have it literally pages turned down. Great book.
Such a good book. And it's true. So, you know, I think no matter who you are, remembering that your words, whether it's your self-talk or what you're saying to others, they have true power, real magical properties. So just making sure what you're saying feels good and it's aligned. And that's not about being PC. I'm not a PC person. I try to speak in a way that doesn't hurt people, as best I can, but I also try to be honest and funny, and I have a dark sense of humor a lot of the time, and I think it's okay to just be who you are and express it, but be aware of the power you have.
That's it. That's it. And be able to throw out your authenticity to be comfortable enough within yourself to throw it
Right.
out there.
Right.
It's interesting. If you feel good on the inside, you're in touch with it. It's so much easier. Your vibration definitely is. It runs that much higher. Other people can feel it. And that I know that maybe sounds a little woo-woo, but I really do. It's when you have certain people come up to you after you do a show, and someone who maybe didn't laugh as hard, or but you come off stage and the person people want to touch you, which I don't know how you feel about that. But even I did a show in PA and I'm like, oh my God, it was an audience that initially I'm like, wow, I wonder if this is gonna hit my stuff. I came off stage and it's this feeling of people feel like they know you. I'm able to be authentic with you in a way that I feel like is important. And it's literally hugging people. When you get off stage, I want to touch you. It's because they can feel really, I'm not afraid to let my insides out, and that's there's something pretty great about that.
That's beautiful. I really love that. And I hope we get to work together again at some point.
Same. I
That would
do
be really fun.
too. I would love it. Thank you so much for having this has been so much fun. This has been such a great chat.
Thank
Seriously.
you so much for coming on. I didn't know it was going to feel this easy and kindred spirits. You know,
Yeah.
like I said, I love your social media. I just like your energy,
Well,
because you're
same.
funny and kind and evolved. But this was a fantastic conversation, Karen.
Amazing, Kate, seriously, amazing, really. So I love that we have this. This is really, really nice.
Yes, and where can people find you?
So my social media, all my shows are on my Instagram or on my website, KarenKranzComedy.com or Karen Kranz Comedy on Instagram. And there's lots of shows coming up in the new year, podcasts, yes, some exciting stuff. So I would really love it, have people tune in. It would be great.
Oh, yeah. And then let's see, for me, well, if anyone wants a healing, you can email kwolf2fs27@gmail.com because it's going to get crazy. So if you're nervous about these aliens, I think I might be the perfect healer for you. But
Yes.
and then I have a show New Year's Eve at Atlantic City Comedy Club. So come on
Wonderful.
out. You can bring in the new year, but I will be heading home right after because I'm used to these days, like an 8 or 9 o'clock bedtime, 6 p.m. on a bad day if I'm
Oh
feeling
yeah.
sick.
I'm with you. Daylight savings, I'm telling you right now, Kate, all bets are off. Like my husband's like, "What do you got for me now?" I'm like, 7 o'clock, I'm in my boxers and my slips. I'm like, my window's shutting for business. He's like, "Well, it's 7." I'm like, "I understand that, but I just ate dinner. Like, I'm good. I don't, you know."
Amen. Protect your energy levels. You
That's
know, they're
it.
precious.
That's it.
I go to bed sometimes at 6 or 7. If my body's done and it's time to shut it down,
That's
it's time to shut it down. I'm like, the sun went to bed, even though it's
yeah.
just on another side of the world. But you know, like I need to
We're
go to
on the
sleep.
same page with that. We're on the same page.
Hell yeah. Well,
Yeah.
thank you again so much. You're
Thanks,
wonderful.
Kate. I
And
look
thank
forward to
you.
let's do a show all starting in
Yes, we'll figure it out. And
May. I
thanks
love
to
it.
everyone for listening. Bye.
Take care. Bye.